You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
Hello once again, welcome along to Talking Teesdale. My name's Stuart Laundy and unfortunately Jane can't be with us this week, so I'm flying solo. She did mention something about not venturing into the studio until I got the heating sorted out. I just suggested she put an extra vest, a scarf and a pair of gloves on. But in all seriousness, it is one of the busiest times of the year at the Arts Centre, so she's busy occupied with other more important things than prattling away with me on the podcast. So coming up, I'll be chatting to Ian Clarkson, who is a founder member of the Jive Aces, the country's number one jive and swing band. They're bringing their Christmas show to the Witham on Friday, December the 12th. And I'll also be looking at what's coming up at the Arts Centre in the next week or so. And I think the best thing to do is start with a bit of music from the Jive Aces. This is from their latest album, Keeping the Show on the Road, and it's their version of It Don't Mean a Thing.
What good is music? What good is melody? If it ain't possessing something sweet. It ain't the music. It ain't the melody. There's something else that makes a song complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do I, 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 do I. It don't mean a thing. All you got to do is swing. Do I, 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 do I. Well, it makes no difference if you like it, sweet or hot. You just gotta get that rhythm. Everything is God. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do I, 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 do I.
Jive Aces, who are bringing their swinging Christmas show to the Witham in Barnard Castle on Friday, December the 12th. A couple of days ago, I caught up with Ian Clarkson, a founder member of the group, and I began by asking him if he was getting into the Christmas mood yet.
Oh, yes, I am, because it's actually snowing today where we are. I was driving through the snow to get to our little rehearsal studio, and it was actually almost like a bit of a blizzard, in fact.
I have a feeling that you were possibly snowed off when you were due to appear up in Barnard Castle once before. Now, I might be getting you mistaken with another group, but I'm sure we had to rearrange a date for you.
It does sound vaguely familiar. We have been showed up on a few occasions.
Let's talk a bit about the Jive Aces, because I'd heard about you, come across you through the Britain's Got Talent thing, but until I looked you up, I didn't realise you'd been going quite so long. 1989, you're going to hate me for this, because along with the Jive Aces, 1989 also saw Jive Bunny and the Master Mixers at number one with Swing the Mood. Please tell me it wasn't the Jive Bunnies that inspired you to form the band.
No, the band actually started, well, really, we started playing before that. Me and the drummer were at school together, and then we met the guy that's the bass player and the saxophone player the year we left school, which was about when we were 16 or something. We're from Essex, so it was early, you know. And then we had a few bands, and then the actual Jive Aces officially would actually be about 1988. For some reason, we always say 89, but I think the first official gig under the name the Jive Aces was in 88. And before that, the same band was called the Blues Busters. But we were releasing a vinyl single back in those days, and as the Blues Busters. And Paul Young's band, Q-Tips, had a blues side project, and they were called the Blues Busters. And they gave us a call and said, you know, we've got an album coming out. Do you mind not being the Blues Busters? And then, yeah, literally, I was on the phone to the guy pressing the single, and he goes, "What are you going to be then?" And me and Ken were standing at a phone box in those days, and I said, "Oh, well, what about Blues Aces?" And then he said, "No, that sounds like a blues band." And so Ken said, "Jive." So I said, "Jive Aces," and that was it. Oh. He pressed the single, and we've been the Jive Aces ever since.
So where does the love of the music come from then? You were very young, you said, you were very young when you started. So it seems, I mean, given all musical tastes that were going on in the 80s, where does the love of jive and swing come from?
I think originally we were sort of, all of us really, when we were about 13, 14 years old, which obviously is not that long ago, we were like into Elvis and stuff, particularly Elvis, because obviously everyone knew Elvis. Elvis passed away around that time. So there was even more, you know, there was movies on all the time, and they were playing him all the time. And in those days, I'd be listening to Elvis. I loved Elvis. And then I'd look at the sleeve notes and see that he was inspired by all this blues music. So, like, That's All Right, Mama was Arthur Big Boy Crudup. Hound Dog was by Big Mama Thornton, and a band called Freddie Bell and the Bell Boys. And I'd look up all these bands, and then we'd go to, there used to be some like jazz blues record shops, and we used to go down to those in London and stuff, and basically spend hours going through them, and end up buying blues and jazz and swing and rock and roll and rockabilly. And you know, he was Sun Studios, so I had loads of albums of Sun's. They were just bringing out albums of the time of like Sun Studios, the recordings. So I started buying everything that was recorded at Sun, which was a mixture of blues, hillbilly and rockabilly and early rock and roll. And we sort of just went backwards as everyone else went forwards.
There was a bit of a rockabilly revival as well, wasn't it? Sort of late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we, by the time I was 13, I had my hair sort of pretty much like now, except I was trying to, you know, have this, you know, quiff, teddy boy looking quiff, but my dad gave me some brew cream, and I eventually learned how to do it. And everyone thought I was completely mad at school. I was the only one. And then I met another guy who was a year older than me at school. So I looked at his hair. It was like a movie. I remember him sitting on the desk talking to our teacher. He was like an older guy, you know, he was a year older. And I was trying to study his hair to see how he did it. And everyone else were like punks and mods and stuff. And then the Stray Cats came out, and suddenly I was cool. Everyone's going, "Oh, he had his hair cut like that before." And so I suddenly went from weirdo to hero overnight. Style icon.
So at what point did the Jive Aces kind of get serious? Was there a sort of tipping point when you thought, we can actually make something of this?
Well, we haven't really got serious yet. We didn't want to do that. No, we it was gradually. We started actually dancing, jive dancing to rock and roll and rockabilly and swing, and we used to go and dance in front of other bands and get in free, sort of like an official dance troupe. And then we got some interest locally. We were in the local newspaper as jive dancers and stuff, throwing our girlfriends around. And then we started a club that did it, but we only have about 25 people. And then we started busking. We used to go and play in the street and in Romford in Essex and all around that sort of area in the markets. And we'd earn our money around Christmas time, and you know, throwing quite a while. And then people would come, and we had to get a card because people would ask us for a card. And we'd start doing Christmas parties, weddings, nurses' parties, which were always fun. And we sort of went from there, really. And then the serious part, we got serious, was when we started getting gigs in Europe, which was once we'd recorded this single. And the guy that recorded it, I don't know if you remember a band called the Polecats, who also were sort of like the British Stray Cats. And Boz Borra, who's the guitarist and a friend of ours, had a recording studio, and he basically produced the first single. He ended up being Morrissey's guitarist, and actually has been playing with Morrissey since then. But anyway, at that time, he helped us. Amazing. I always say it's his fault, by sending our single around places. And he sent it to up north, first of all, to Newcastle. And so the first place a long way away for us was playing in Newcastle. And then we did a gig in Paris. And then he sent it to Switzerland. And we started going to Switzerland. And we used to do this run twice a year in Switzerland of residences in these clubs in Switzerland. And it was fantastic. It was like being the Beatles akin to the Beatles in Hamburg, because you'd play for a residency for a week in these music clubs, and people would come and see you every single night for a week. And you'd play five sets and then five encores because they loved you, and you were like English, like next to American. English was like the thing, you know. Wow, they're English. They actually speak that language. And it used to be great. It was fantastic. We were introduced to the world of being rock and roll stars before we were famous, which we're not yet anyway. But, you know, you had like Swiss girls and making you cakes and bread. And it was just an amazing time. We lived in Dagenham at the time when we started the band, Dagenham in Essex. And so suddenly being in Paris and Switzerland is like a whole new world. Broadens your horizons. And so that was the thing. So because we were playing in Europe, obviously if you had a job, you very quickly run out of holiday time. So we gave an ultimatum, which is probably the most serious we ever got, to the band, and said, look, if you want to stay with the band, you've got 3 months to decide, give up your day job, because we've got more work in Europe. And we wanted to do there was lots of work in Europe and less in the UK. So we started doing that. And then, as you said, before Britain's Got Talent, we were on Opportunity Knocks with Les Dawson, right? The last season of Opportunity Knocks. And that's what really, obviously there was no social media. So we were just on, we won on the show, but we didn't get the call back. And we were quite happy because we left that night for the second tour of Switzerland, and we didn't want to have to come back. We were so blasé. So we got in the van and drove to Switzerland. But it was amazing. And then they sent us the video. So we made loads of VHSs and had 8x10 black and white photographs and sent them around everywhere. And that really got us going around the country in the UK.
And the enthusiasm for what you do remains undimmed. I mean, I see after the run of shows that you're doing up to Christmas this year, you're off to Athens for a week.
We did it once before in about 2022 when we first got out, or actually 22 into 23. And what we do is we play after Christmas up to and including and past New Year's Eve. And it's sort of like the Ronnie Scott's of Athens. It's called the Half Note. Yeah, so like a top jazz club in Athens, sold out every night. And then you do New Year's Eve, which you start at 1 a.m. first set.
Something to look forward to.
That's the great thing, is as long as you've always got something to look forward to, and we've always got great gigs coming up, and so you're always living in the future, you know, you've always got something to look forward to and rehearse for and so on. So that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, speaking of great gigs coming up, tell me about your swinging Christmas show that you bring into the Witham.
Well, it's a bit in flux, man. We're only rehearsing all the Crimbo songs and getting some new Crimbo songs together. We've delved back into, sort of giving it away, but some, because we were looking through the, what they call public domain, because we're probably going to do a little Christmas TV show at some point. And so we're looking for public domain songs. We've written some ourselves, but then we were looking at that. Jingle Bells is public domain, which means that you're allowed to do it without copyright problems, in the layman's terms. And things like Good King Wenceslas. So we're going, hold on a minute, that sounds a bit boring. So then we're looking at it and going, okay, well, it's a bit like Old MacDonald or Mac the Knife. So we're trying to work out an arrangement for Good King Wenceslas, like Bobby Darin would do it. You know, like, Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, or that sort of thing. And so we're working out stuff, and then we have some surprise guests, some local and some further away, and that's part of our Christmas thing. We like to have guests, you know, like basically it's like a, you know, Dean Martin Christmas show or something. You've got to have somebody's surprise knocking on the door and coming in. So we're like, we're going to get some special guests, probably a female trio. Who knows who there's going to be. We've put our feelers out, some friends, and so we will invite some friends along, and it'll be great. It'll be sit down and dancing. We know there's some dancers coming. There's a guy who does, oh, he's going to kill me because his name's got Mark. I can't remember his second name. Anyway, there's some jive swing dancers coming, so you can sit down and watch cabaret style, or you can get up and have a dance if your feet tapping is not enough. And it's going to be Christmassy, basically. And the great thing about our music, you know, the swing, rock and roll, jive, is a lot of people don't know it. But when it comes to Christmas, you're allowed to do old songs. Rocking around the Christmas tree and everything suddenly come out. So, yeah, it's good for us.
Ian, we've prattled on quite long enough, I think. It sounds like a fabulous show that you're coming up to us with this year. We look forward to seeing you on the 12th, so all the very best.
So we look forward to seeing all the lovely people and swinging with them.
And a reminder that the Jive Aces are on stage at the Witham on Friday, December the 12th at 8 o'clock. Tickets are £22 and £20. Check out www.thewitham.org.uk for full details.
Hi, I'm Jim.
And I'm Sheila.
We're volunteers at the Witham.
And you're listening to Talking Teasdale with Stuart and Jane.
Well, it's actually just me this week because Jane's otherwise engaged doing much more important stuff. So in Jane's absence, it falls to me to have a look at what's coming up at the Witham over the next few days. And we start with a reminder of a big night for soul music fans. The Barnard Castle Soul Club is hosting a 60s-70s crossover modern northern soul night this Saturday. That's November the 22nd. It starts at 5:30, features a lineup of five top soul DJs, and admission is just £6 and you can pay on the door. And from soul to folk rock and Steel Eye Span, the legendary Steel Eye Span, are on stage on Monday, November the 24th at the Witham. Unfortunately, the show is sold out, so it's returns only. So if you want to be in with any chance whatsoever of bagging yourself a ticket, get in touch with the centre and get your name on the returns list. We then have a couple of screenings which might appeal to you. On Tuesday, November the 25th, the Royal Ballet and Opera are performing Cinderella. It was filmed at the Royal Opera House in December 2024, and the screening will start at 7:15. Tickets are £14 and £12. Then on Thursday, November the 22nd, we have a National Theatre live screening of The Fifth Step, which has a rating of 15. It's a new play by David Ireland, and it features Jack Loudon of Slow Horses fame and Martin Freeman. It starts at 7 o'clock, and once again, tickets are £14 and £12. And then to round things off next week, there's a couple more music gigs starting on Friday, November the 28th, with the visit of Martin Harley, who is billed as one of the UK's finest contemporary roots musicians. He'll take to the stage at 8 o'clock, and tickets for this gig at £20. And then on Saturday, November the 29th, the Withams delighted to welcome back Queen UK, one of the country's premier Queen tribute bands. Expect all the well-known hits. They'll be on stage from 7:30, and tickets are £20. For full details of these shows, just go online to www.thewitham.org.uk, or you can call the box office on 01833 631107.
Hi, this is Louise, Queen of Social Media, and you're listening to Talking Teasdale with Stuart and Jane.
Well, that's it for this time. Hopefully normal service will be resumed next week. I'm going to finish the show in the way that we started it, with a bit of music. And with the visit of Steel Eye Span on Monday, what better excuse do we need to play their best-known song? This is All Around My Hat. And until next time, when Jane's back with us, I'll say cheerio. Ta-da!
All around my hat, I will for a 12-month and a day. And if anyone should ask me the reason why I'm wearing it, it's all for my true love, who's far, far away.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We'll be talking Teasdale again soon. In the meantime, please spread the word. Like, share and subscribe. Or go online to thewitham.org.uk.